Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, man. It's time for Mike and Squid's Grand Prix Podcast. Brought to you by Hey Man Blonde Ale. Shenanigans in every can. Now, with the F1 season underway, here's Mike and Squid Billy.
Hey, man. It is time for another edition of our Formula 101 podcast. Mike Bell from Dukes and Bell with Squid Billy. It is Bo Morgan, our intrepid producer, who has now become a big-time Formula 1 fan. So we're going to be talking about the Japanese Grand Prix. There was also some great racing at Talladega, and we'll rope in some American Le Mans, as the Petit Le Mans was run up at Michelin Road Atlanta. And I had the pleasure of being up there, so we'll give you some sports car racing today as well. In a nutshell, what we've come to expect, even though Ferrari does have probably the best engine and the most straight-line speed in Formula One, Bo Morgan, there's no situation that Ferrari can't screw up, even when they go 1-2 on the pole.
Oh, we've seen it time and time. How many times have they gone 1-2 or 1-3 or 2-3 and screwed it up off the start? I mean, they did that a couple weeks ago, too, with Leclerc and Vettel.
Go ahead, say it.
I am not a fire the coach. I am not a fire the crew chief, fire the driver, well, sometimes,
right,
kind of guy. But at what point, if you're Ferrari, you'd be like, we've got everything working. We've got a five-time world champion in Vettel and a future at least two-time world champion if we don't screw this up for him in Leclerc. What point do we got to make changes to ensure we're doing things right for our driver? It's the only way. We're the only team that can go head-to-head with Mercedes, and we screw it up, not on the track.
As you can say, we, because we're kind of Ferrari fans. But here's the thing. As much as we take shots at the management of Ferrari, and again, there's so many different – you got the team engineer, you got the technical, you've got the strategy guy. Whoever the strategy guy for Ferrari is, it should be fired. And they've probably gone through five of those guys in the last two seasons. But in a nutshell, if you didn't see the race, Ferrari, and they have to do qualifying on race day on Sunday because there was a typhoon rolling through Japan. So Saturday was a complete washout. So they had a qualifying session on Sunday morning, and then that, of course, set the field. It was a front row lockout for Ferrari, and Vettel actually beat Leclerc. So Vettel first, Leclerc second, and then you got the Lewis and Bottas back there. So what happened at the start, and I haven't seen this happen in a long time, there is, in Formula One, it's five red lights. The five lights all illuminate, and then they turn off. And when they turn off, that's when the race begins. This time, Sebastian Vettel jumped the start, but there is a line for each grid position. And since technically he didn't roll past his basic mini start line, if you will, the line where his car is supposed to be, they did not consider that a false start, if you will. So he does a little herky-jerk. Messes up his teammate. Everyone else zooms by because then Vettel is kind of like just screwed himself out of a decent start. And then Bottas and Lewis sprint up front. And if you didn't see it, Charles Leclerc has, again, a great start by Max Verstappen. And he bumps him out as they make the turn into turn one. And Verstappen's race day is done for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, and it's just a shame because we're wasting such a great rookie year for Leclerc. And we talked about this last podcast. Vettel has found his testicular fortitude, yeah, as you would
podcast,
like to say.
You can say it. He got his balls back.
You know, I don't know who listens.
Mom. No, he's got his balls back.
A mom would expect me to say that.
He's got a bit of an edge. And for those who aren't familiar, just real quick, because we try to give a little brief synopsis of what's going on. Real quick, Vettel had been a four-time world champion, moves over to Ferrari. They've won races, but he hasn't really competed for the championship. And then Charles Leclerc, the young monegast from Monaco, comes in and really wins three poles in a row, wins two races, should have four or five races this year. So Vettel was kind of pushed to the side, and he's come back to the forefront from Singapore on. So it was kind of nice to see that, but of course they screw up the strategy. Leclerc's wing falls off. They've got to pit him. I couldn't believe FIA let him run as long as they did with that wing dangling.
Well, he had told that. So the story is Ferrari had told them that they were going to come in, And then Leclerc said, well, look, I got good speed.
Right.
Let me stay out. So he stays out. And then
eventually the wing just rips off and shards of carbon fiber earlier go flying past Lewis Hamilton.
And this started a little thing between and him and Verstappen get into it. Now Verstappen's whining and complaining, and rightfully so, to the stewards.
You don't think to me – I would think you could argue that Verstappen did the same thing to Leclerc in Austria, but at the end of the race, Leclerc's tires were gone. I just like the fact that Formula One has said, you know what? We're going to allow a little more contact, after being all ticky-tack in Canada when Vettel went off the track and came back on.
Yeah.
I mean, now it screws Vettel out of a chance to win a race in Canada, but I do like the fact they're letting this thing go. I don't like the fact they can't adjudicate it during the race. First, there's no investigation. Then it's investigation. Then investigation will continue after the race. They have stewards, basically referees, that consist of former race car drivers that are watching the race, and they wanted to debrief the drivers before they made their judgment.
But Gunther, I'm not getting a little off topic, but Gunther Steiner has some harsh words for the steward that was came over the radio for Kevin Magnussen's radio, and he goes, well, you know, that certain steward, he just doesn't, he's not getting any smarter. And I mean, and I've got him a little bit of hot water with him. And of course, the Renault thing with the stewards is another thing. But you're right, and I think this is racing. I think these guys have been handled a certain way, and now to your point, they're kind of changing it up a little bit.
Let the gloves off, right?
Yeah, and now you're coming out. They sound like a bunch of spoiled little whiny brats. They sound like kids in the back seat of a station wagon, going across the country to Wally World, and they're, you know, poking each other and his legs over the side of the seat and something like that. But so. It's becoming ridiculous, all the whining and complaining. I get it a little bit. Grow up. You don't like it, then do it back. And by the way, your point is exactly right. They're all doing it. They just get mad when it's done to them.
Right, and that's the thing. When Verstappen cuts somebody off or takes somebody out, then of course, what are they doing? He slammed right into me. Again, they all – remember, most of these guys are rich kids, okay? Unless you've got tremendous talent and you've had a sponsor or your dad could make some connections and then advance your career. Almost all of these guys at some level have really wealthy parents. So there's a lot of millennial whining. These are the best – but they are the best race car drivers. Even a guy like Lance Stroll, who everyone thought was the ultimate example of the rich dad. His father's a billionaire, made his money taking Tommy Hilfiger and other fashion guys public, richest guy in Canada. His son, actually, I got to be honest with you, he's getting better and better. You know, you could argue that he's become a better race car driver.
And you know what? My respect for someone like that, I know how he got into the sport, but it's not like he was a rich kid that got into the sport and just, you know, just kind of rolled in on Ferrari or Red Bull or something. He started way down. His dad had to buy the team to save the team,
right,
to save his son's dream. And his son is not really crapping on it. He's out there working.
They got Mercedes power. I mean, they don't have as good a chassis as other teams, but that's the old Force India team guys, and their old owner got in trouble in India and in England.
DJ Malia. Is he in jail now, by the way?
He can't go back to India. I know that. So I'm not sure if he's in the Huskow in England. Either way, he can't be involved with the race team. So the race order, by the way, at the Japanese Grand Prix, and a fantastic track. If you've never seen it, it is one of the best racetracks. It's a track the drivers love. The racing is awesome. It just the visuals are fantastic. So Valtteri Bottas gets the win. Lewis Hamilton sandwiched. He could not get behind Sebastian Vettel, who finished second. And then you've got, again, Alex Albon. Another great job in the Toro Rosso driver, now driving in Red Bull. So certainly Max Verstappen, if he had not been wrecked, maybe had a chance for a top three, if not to compete for the win. Then Carlos Sainz, one of the best wins, or best, not a win, but best finishes for McLaren in their new era. They're going to one more year with Renault, and then they're going to switch to Mercedes in 2021. But Carlos Sainz with the top five, and for a minute, looked like he might sniff a podium.
Good for Carlos Sainz. It's good to see McLaren doing well, too. And by the way, the Renault has a lot of issues right now.
Yeah, there was an article I read that they were saying that the Renault was going to throw millions and millions of dollars at Jean Todt, who used to help run Ferrari with Ross Brawn, and is now one of the honchos of Formula One, of FIA. And that's a thankless job. You get eviscerated by the French press. And the bottom line is Renault has a crap engine. Renault just can't. Renault is the only factory team that soon is not going to have any customers.
Yeah,
you know, Ferrari has two teams that use their engine. Mercedes has four teams that use their engine. Honda has three teams now. It's funny. Renault, nobody wants their product. You know, the Red Bull fiasco played out, and now you're going to see McLaren, as we said, move away from Renault after this next season.
I'm not sure that their drivers even want their product right now. It's just not good. Now they're being investigated. After the race, they had to go meet with the stewards, and I think it was Racing Point called them out for some handling stuff they thought that was shady, so they basically impounded the cars, steering wheels and some other suspension parts of their cars, and so now they're going through that. I mean, it's just it's been a rough week for Renault.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Ricciardo had a seventh place finish. Speaking of Ferrari, for whatever reason, Ferrari goes 1-2 on the you know, in qualifying on race day, and then for whatever reason, the other Ferrari customers couldn't do jack. The Alfa Romeos and the Haas all finished 13th through 16th, which is kind of weird. As we mentioned, Verstappen gets punted, so he's dead last. He has to bring it in, finishes 20th. So the race, by the way, was actually pretty interesting strategy-wise, because you're watching Leclerc cut through the field. You were thinking that there was maybe some scenarios where Ferrari, if they don't mishandle the strategy, might be able to get Vettel out there in front, but of course they were Ferrari, so they couldn't do that.
Did you see Vettel at the end of the race? And Formula One actually tweeted this out, and it's just the GIF, I guess, is what it's called. And it's one of the longer GIFs, but he's in the podium.
Well, it's called Parc Fermé.
Okay,
French
whatever.
Word means where the cars sit.
Yeah, well, I'll call it the podium lane because it's essentially victory lane.
In America, we'd call it victory lane, but in you're in Formula One, you got three cars. So there's a stanchion for first, a stanchion for second and third. And so drivers like to inspect the cars sometimes and see what the other guys got, because other than maybe sneaking into the other garage, you don't get a chance to see the car.
Well, and what he was looking at would be basically the distance between these front spoiler and the ground. And so he shoves his foot underneath Ferrari's.
And the nose, too, yeah.
Yeah, and he moves to the number one over, shoves his foot under there, then goes and kicks his number over where the stand has numbers right in front of the cards and puts his foot under his. And then he looks at his foot, and then he looks back at the Mercedes there, and then he does it again, and he's clearly investigating, and I think he's trying to see – Is it the correct height off?
Well, what's Mercedes doing that we're not doing with our nose and our front wing assembly? You know, as far as the clearance, as far as how it's set up. So it was kind of neat to see him literally kind of just use his foot as like a ruler and kind of like, okay, well, here's what I got and here's what they got.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I tell you what, I'm not a big Vettel fan, but as the season has went on,
he's getting competitive. I mean, it's just good to see the guy didn't quit. You know,
I
what
just
mean?
Like his attitude. I like. Yeah, he hasn't quit. You got a great point. And I like the way he's handled himself. I kind of like, you know, he's just changed through the season. And it was kind of getting to where he was getting a little bit like Grosjean, mm-hmm. I felt.
Crying too much.
Yeah, and then he just kind of said, you know, blank this, and he's kind of really taking it back. And by the way, good for Bottas to get another win. I think it's his third win of the season.
Right.
He's had a good year. I think he's kind of solidified himself next year moving forward, and I'm glad to see that, because I think he's the perfect wingman for Lewis, and I think it's right. Good for him.
And Mercedes clinches their sixth championship in a row, which is unbelievable. You know, you think about, you know, Lewis now, he'll have his sixth championship, also a championship for Nico Rosberg. This is the manufacturer's championship, driver's championship still continues. But for those that aren't familiar, they have Ferrari competes with Mercedes, all the major manufacturers, and there's big prize money for it. That's why it's important even for the backmarkers to finish sixth or seventh, because it equals millions and millions of dollars in points that's awarded. So Mercedes gets it again. Had Ferrari not screwed up, or if Leclerc can finish in the top three, then they would have extended the race to Mexico, which is where they go in not this weekend, but a week from Sunday. It's Mexico, and then a week after that, they're in Austin, Texas. I'm going down there for the U.S. Grand Prix. So Mexican race is great. So get a chance next week, check it out. It's so cool. They go through an old baseball stadium. They have long straightaways. It's got a little bit of everything in Mexico City. It really looks dramatic.
And that's going to be similar. They won't go into, but the race that's been approved in Miami looks like it's coming soon. It's going to be basically around Hard Rock Stadium. Which is going to be cool, and for those of us that have been there, I think that's going to be a kind of cool sight. You'll get to see the stadium in the middle of the track. They'll go right by the outside of the stadium. So I'm kind of I was trying to think through my head of, because I was down there August,
right, for the preseason of the Falcons.
Yeah, and so I was trying to think through of where they might be, but it's kind of lost on you because you're riding on a bus, your head's down, you're reading your phone,
basically, for those who know Miami, you come down off the turnpike, and there's like there's two major major avenues, Ives Dairy Road, there's 199th. Either way, they've got enough space where the parking lot is, and over like where I think there's like a new little dog track is. But anyway, there's enough space where they can put this track in and have like a 2.5 mile circuit. So they'll have it coming right by the stadium, right outside. So people will be in the suites, will be able to watch from like club level, but looking outside, yeah. You know, it's kind of neat. and there's some plans for removing some of the planes of glass and stuff and create this whole area. Then they have like a little infield section. The mock-up is up. We'll retweet it at Mike Bell ATL. And Squidbilly, what's your Twitter handle?
At Squidbilly929.
So check it out. But yeah, so only thing that would be a snafu is Broward County and Dade County and the commission and all that squaring off on it. Because in the past, they wanted to do a race down by the cruise ships. It looks so dramatic with the Miami City skyline go down off of like there's a Biscayne Boulevard and Brickell Avenue. That's where initially they had some ideas, but of course anything in Miami is a train wreck politically to get done. So they said, well, heck, it's just easier to do a temporary circuit. It would start in 2021. It would mean Barcelona is going to be off the schedule. They get Barcelona for next year, but then they haven't a long-term agreement in place of that. So this is either leverage to get Barcelona to get their act together, or maybe this is going to happen, which would give you two races in America.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and we haven't had that since Watkins Glen and Long Beach or the old races that they used to do, the one-offs. They did a race at Caesars Palace. They raced at Phoenix back in the day.
Yeah.
So it'd really be cool.
That'd be great. It'd be great. And real quick, I mean, I know we're short on time, but you wanted to mention the Le Mans at Road Atlanta.
Yep.
Real quick, over in Talladega, our friends at Talladega who always take care of us. They got kind of screwed in the weather, but they had a phenomenal race Monday afternoon. They did have a lot of wrecks. It was actually decent action throughout the race, but then they did get some big wrecks in it. Kurt Busch was involved in hitting, kind of pushing Kyle and causing a big wreck. But Ryan Newman and Ryan Blaney are going at it at the end. Blaney leads from the restart, which was late in the race. And then Newman comes on the last lap, early on the last lap, out of turns one and two. He takes the lead. It looks like he's going to take it. They're short on cars, so it doesn't look like Blaney's going to get a push out of nowhere. He just drives right up. Newman tries to kind of block him a little bit. He kind of touches the double yellow line. But then they bang right before the finish line, 0.007 tenths of a second or whatever.
Yeah.
Unreal. Congratulations to Ryan Blaney and the people at Talladega for a great finish.
Unfortunately, nobody's there to see it because of the rain out on Sunday, which stinks because it's arguably the greatest race of the season. Basically, 6 inches of fender or 6 inches of front bumper was the difference in the race win. And I'm a big fan of Blaney. I saw his dad almost win in Atlanta years ago. And unfortunately, his dad, he was like, we used to joke around, he's like Goose in Top Gun. You just knew he was never going to get it done. He's leading the race with 35 laps in Atlanta years ago, driving the Amoco car. They put like three tires on him. They forgot the front right. Just comes right off.
And so
Dave Blaney never got, I don't know, he ever got a win in Sprint Cup.
I don't think he did.
Or Nextel Cup, and then later on, of course, now Monster. Hey, man, Squidbilly mentioned it. I was over at the Motul, which is a French motor oil, Motul Petit Le Mans, and that's Road Atlanta. Now, I was up at Road Atlanta for the Grand Am race or Trans Am race in the spring. They were just still working on this amazing VIP area suites control center on the front stretch. It looks big time. You have the giant Michelin man on the side painted on one side. It looks kick. But I'm a big fan of Barber Motorsports Park, which to me is just state-of-the-art. It looks like it's brand new. The upgrades at Road Atlanta were awesome. Biggest crowd they've ever had for the Petit Le Mans. I rode in with my buddy Don Marino, and we're going. Let's just go as far back as we can. We get up to like turn 6, 7, 8. We found a spot right on the rail. Some of the photos are up at Mike Bell ATL. But anyway, great race. Cadillac, by the way, wins for Whelen Engineering. And if you didn't see the race, like, that's a Cadillac? Yes, that's Cadillac. In the Daytona prototype, but it was the guys from Chip Ganassi also battling in some of the lesser divisions. But it was the Penske team winning the title overall. And that's a team that's pretty cool. It includes Juan Pablo Montoya, Simon Pagenaud, of course, who won the Indy 500 this year.
Yeah.
There were a ton of Indy 500 drivers. Got a chance to see a bunch of guys. Helio Castroneves was there. Well, we talked about Graham Rahal. Anyways, a ton of IndyCar drivers. If you've never been to a day race, it turns into a night race. It's unbelievable. It's hard to explain. I showed you the pictures. It was a blast. Thanks to our buddies at Turner Motorsports. They wanted their BMW in class. They edged out the Mercedes on the last lap.
Oh, wow. Nice.
It's kind of neat. We got a chance to spend some time with Stu and the guys that run that team. But if you've never been to Petit Le Mans next year, guys, I know it's tough during college and pro football season, but it's worth the trip because my buddy and a few other folks who'd never been for the first time said it was just unbelievable and they want to come back. So that was the end of the endurance racing season. And it was won overall, as we said, by Roger Penske's team. But what a wild time it was, man.
What a good weekend for Team Penske.
Really was, yeah. win there in Talladega.
Yeah.
All right, man, we got three races left in the Formula One season, as we said. Hopefully Ferrari can get it together in Mexico next week, and then it's USA, and I'll give you a report from Austin. So again, if you want to ask us questions, hit us up. Squidbilly, your tag one more time.
At Squidbilly929.
And I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Tell your friends, man, we got a Formula 101 podcast right here on 92.9.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.